making order out of chaos. That is the Word of God. Understanding that Word, that we might find encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, that's this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will take us back to God's Word that we might find that hope, that strength, and that encouragement for our daily walks in Christ. Won't you join us? For today's edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us here at Abounding Grace today. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon on this Friday question and answer session. We are happy to take your questions. Remember, you may email us at lindenurc.com and the email address to send any question that you might have regarding the Bible, the Christian faith, ethics, anything of that nature. You may email us at aboundinggrace@lindenurc.com. Well, again, we have Kevin Efflent, the pastor of the Bellingham United Reformed Church. He is with us today. We're taking up the exciting subject of eschatology. The eschatology is the study of the last things, and we have a few questions before for us today, and we're going to devote our whole time today and probably next week Friday to addressing this issue. Kevin, tell us a little bit about our view of eschatology. What do you believe about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ?
Well, I think, Chris, you when you talk about eschatology, you know, you could basically talk about three different camps, which would be premillennialism, postmillennialism, and amillennialism. I'm sure we can define a little bit what those actually mean, but we as confessionally reformed ministers would hold to what is known as amillennialism. Not that we don't think the Bible talks about a 1,000-year reign of Christ, but we do think that that is symbolic of the current church age between the coming of Christ, the first coming and the second coming. So I think that's what we would say, that we are amillennialists as opposed to what is probably the most popular form of eschatology out there, which would be premillennial dispensationalism.
Yeah, and having both of us having roots growing up in premillennialism, Kevin especially, we could define that a little bit today by saying that basically the common view out there is that when the Jews rejected our Lord, he went to the plan to give the church a salvation plan. And since the Jews rejected, and at any point the church could be raptured out, Then those left will go through a terrible time, a 7-year period of tribulation, first 3.5 years being relatively calm, the second 3.5 being terrible for the 144,000 Jews who will be left. And they will suffer intense persecution. And at that time, Christ will then come back with his church and reign on this earth in Jerusalem in a rebuilt temple for a 1,000-year reign. What Kevin just mentioned is the amillennial view. And that, of course, is an unfortunate and sad name because the other camp out there does not believe that there is no millennial reign of Christ. It simply affirms that the millennial reign of Christ took place and was inaugurated through Christ's resurrection and ascension into heaven. So when he ascended into heaven, he said in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and therefore commissioned his church to go out. And so the amillennial camp would view the 1,000-year reign as taking place from his ascension all the way to the second coming of our Lord. Anything you want to add?
Well, Chris, you talk about premillennialism, and that really is the dominant view in evangelical Christianity today, made popular, of course, back in the 70s, I think, by Hal Lindsey's book, Late Great Planet Earth. Also, the movie Thief in the Night, which I think many people probably have seen before. And then also very well known today with the series by Tim LaHaye called Left Behind. So if you go to a Christian bookstore, the majority of books that you will find dealing with the subject of eschatology or the end times will be coming from this premillennial viewpoint, that the rapture of Christ could occur at any moment, at which time the church will be taken out of the world, and then will begin, as you said, Chris, the 7-year tribulation.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin. And the other view that we should probably mention, though it is a somewhat unpopular and dying view, is postmillennialism. And that was a view that was very popular in the 1800s with Charles Finney and many of those at that time who were basically teaching that the preaching of the gospel would usher forth this golden age that would bring forth the final return of Christ. And so, anyways, those are the three predominant views today. We're going to be talking about a lot of different areas in light of this and a lot of different focus in the scriptures. And let me say, When Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 24 about the second coming of our Lord, his emphasis throughout the whole thing, if we could summarize one main point of emphasis, it was be ready. It was always the coming will be as a thief in the night. When they say peace and safety, soon it will be upon you. So you have all these statements with the overarching theme being, be ready because you do not know the day nor the hour. Now, how do we reconcile statements like that that are, Kevin, throughout the New Testament with all these teachings today that are basically teaching that there are going to be visible signs, earthquakes, all these things? How then do you correlate that with Jesus' statement, be ready?
Well, the fact of the matter is that we do not know, as Jesus said, and the Bible says, we do not know the day nor the hour when Christ will return. And the problem, I think, is when you develop your eschatology based on the newspaper headlines of the day, you run into nothing but problems. We don't read the Bible through the lens of the Bellingham Herald or through the newspaper. We read the Bible without trying to look for hidden signs in the newspaper. And we're not exegeting the newspaper. We're not trying to interpret the newspaper and in that light then determine what's going to happen at the end of time. We're gonna study the Scripture to see what the Scripture has to say. And so I think, Chris, this gets back to the whole way of how we read the Bible. And so why don't you spend, I sound like the host now, but why don't you spend a bit of time talking about how we read the Bible?
Sure. Well, that's a very fair question, because a lot of times we often hear statements like, well, I read the Bible literally, mm-hmm. Kevin. And you know, you guys are reading the Bible very spiritually and symbolically. And that raises an important question. How are we to interpret the Bible? Well, one of the things that two key points of interpretation we always hold fast to is that Scripture interprets Scripture. We never take one passage in obscurity and build a doctrine from that. Whatever is said in one place has to correspond in a cohesive way with the whole teaching of the Bible. So oftentimes people will pull a verse out of Revelation, a verse that is highly symbolic in numbers, and then they will build a doctrine on that. Even, for instance, this 1,000-year reign. That's only mentioned one place in the Bible, 1,000 years. That's in Revelation 20. And so then we have a whole building of a whole system upon that, when really the whole Bible has not maintained that whole teaching consistent throughout. What it's doing there is using a symbolic representative time for the 1,000 years. So that's the first principle of interpretation. Other thing we have to keep in mind is literary style. There are a whole bunch of different genres given to us in the Scripture. So, for instance, you'll have the Psalms and Wisdoms books in the Old Testament. You'll have Gospels, four Gospels given to us, which are completely a different genre than what you would say Revelation, which is apocalyptic literature. So if we try, or even historical narrative in the Old Testament or New Testament in Acts, you can't read every book of the Bible the very same way. If you try to approach it that way, you completely ignore the different type of genres and literary structures that the original Bible, that the original authors gave to us when we received the Scriptures.
Well, I think, Chris, you bring out a very good point that you cannot read all the books of the Bible in the same manner. If you read the book of Revelation in a literalistic manner, you're going to frankly run into all kinds of trouble. And I think, you know, having grown up in the dispensational camp and having been in a dispensational church for a very long time, that is a huge problem with the book of Revelation, is reading it in that manner. You run into nothing but trouble. And, you know, there are a number of good books out there, I think, that we could probably recommend dealing with the end times. And one of those books is by Dr. Kim Riddlebarger, who's a minister in the United Reformed Churches like us. And he's written an excellent book called A Case for Amillennialism, which I think is a very, very good introduction to the confessionally reformed view of eschatology, the doctrine of end times. So I would highly recommend that book for a good overview and a good introduction to the subject. He's also written a book called The Man of Sin, which deals with, I think, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, which is another excellent book for you.
Yeah, thank you. Those are two wonderful books to order. Now, we have a few minutes left here, and you may be asking, well, what do you two believe? And we do have a few passages we would like to maybe rehearse a little bit with you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul wrote, "I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, the very ending of that, Kevin, the whole point of this is to provide comfort with these words. And he speaks here first that the Lord is going to descend. Those who have died in the Lord, their bodies go in the grave, they go in spirit to be with him. But those who are alive when he comes will not precede those who have fallen asleep, meaning their bodies, they will first receive their resurrected bodies, and then we who are alive will meet the Lord in the air, and that's it. At that point, the end judgment will come, and there will be, do you see a pre-rapture of the church in taught here in 1 Thessalonians 4? I mean, I guess I see what a stretch to develop a doctrine of a 1,007-year interval between this period of the rapture and then Jesus coming back to reign.
No, I think, Chris, this is a case of reading your theology back into the text. The text nowhere teaches that. And so people who believe that are coming to 1 Thessalonians 4 with their own preconceived idea of what the end times are like. They do not take that out of the text itself.
Well, not to mention, he says there, he will descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel and the trumpet. There's nothing secret about that.
No, there's no secret rapture.
No, and the rapture is traditionally presented as being very secret. This is, every eye will see, every tongue, you know, and lightning will flash from the east and the west, and so will the coming of the Son of Man be, Matthew 24. This is that day. So what we believe is not to deny a rapture. At the very end, we will be caught up with the Lord in the clouds to meet, be forever with him in the air.
Yeah, should be very comforting words. As you said, at the end of that passage is to comfort us.
Right. But the kingdom is not of this world. Christ's kingdom he has set up is visible in the church today, but the kingdom he is building is the heavenly kingdom, the heavenly city, the Mount Zion from above, which Paul describes in Galatians chapter 4 and Hebrews chapter 10 and 12. So anyways, we're thankful that you've joined us. Boy, time goes so fast, doesn't it, Kevin?
Yes, it does.
Tell us about your worship services this Sunday at the Bellingham URC.
Well, we worship at 10:30 in the morning and 6 in the evening at the gymnasium of the Bellingham Christian School on Sunset Drive.
Kevin, what are you preaching this weekend?
We're currently in the mornings going through a study of the book of Acts, and in the evening we are starting the doctrine of justification.
Wonderful subjects. We're thankful you joined us. Have a wonderful weekend, and may the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.
Well, we need to close out our broadcast here, but we do look forward to joining you next time we get together as we continue our look at God's Word, that we might grow in Christ and be mutually encouraged. This has been Abounding Grace, the ministry extension of United Reformed Church of Linden, with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Copies of what you hear on Abounding Grace are available. You need only call or write to us for the details. Our phone number, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. And as you contact us, remember, we're available on this radio station in part through your partnership with us. As you link arms with us financially and prayerfully, we're able to continue the ministry here on this radio station, encouraging you and others in Christ. Would you prayerfully consider how you might partner with us? We thank you in advance. If you'd like to know more about United Reformed Church of Linden, Abounding Grace, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities here at the church, stop by our website, lindenurc.com. Again, lindenurc.com. If you're joining us for worship, we meet at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Sundays at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. Directions are available at lindenurc.com or by calling 360-318-0429. We do thank you for joining us and trust we'll see you again next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.